Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
It's great to have you on a day early. Are you back in your regular schedule next week, or do you want to switch to this hour?
Yeah, next week should be fine. I've got a presentation I'm giving tomorrow night in Dresden, so I wouldn't be on with you then.
Yeah, is there any memos you want to talk about the Dresden meeting? What are you going to talk about there?
Well, Dresden's an interesting place because this is Dresden and Leipzig were where the candlelight vigils originated that brought down the East German communist government. And so you have a lot of people there who are veterans of that 1988-1989 movement.
Right.
And they're very feisty people who, when someone says, well, how can we do anything now? The media is against us. They say, do you think the media was for us in 1989? It was the Neues Deutschland. It was the Communist Party newspaper. We did it without the media. We did
right.
it people power.
Right.
So people are there really quite feisty, quite good.
Yeah.
And they also have a certain view of the West, which I think is refreshing, which is that they see the West even, you know, they come from more austere circumstances, but they see the West as corrupt, the culture as degenerate. They see the youth that were in East Germany, instead of being productively employed or are moved to the West, focus on money, sex, social networking. And so they tend to be much more realistic about what needs to be done to build an economy and build a society.
I heard an interesting comment. I heard an interesting comment that might fit with what you're saying. It was from Lowell Ponte. He said, you know, if you have a questioning mind and you have some decency, you're often a bit socially leftist when you're young, and as you get into middle age, you become wise and conservative. And it's obviously these people have been through hell, so they're pretty conservative now. They realized that the attitude of even the young people who moved from East Germany to West are just degenerate Westerners now.
Well, and they also are very intrigued by the United States. They want to know what's going on in the United States. And they do have a sense that the Germany has been dealt a bad card. And this is the post-World War II generation, the children of the post-World War II generation. The Germany was made to feel as though it was love of nation which caused the Nazis. And so they're very intrigued by the idea of a positive nationalism.
But people don't understand the arrangements made after World War. World War I should have never happened. But it was arranged by bankers, and so on. All the wars are banker wars. And then World War II, the Versailles arrangement basically hamstrung Germany to the point where it had to have a new economic model, which was based on a German hour of work. It had to have built the Autobahn and the people car. It allowed the circumstances to have someone who had 11% of the vote initially to take over power and be a totalitarian dictator, Adolf Hitler, who initially was on magazines all over the place as this great hero. And the reason is we created the circumstances to create the totalitarian regime because the British, and you mentioned this before, and the United Nations, the British, have always seen Germany as their primary competitor, not even Russia, but Germany. And in a sense, the arrangement to create the European Union made the Germans, in a sense, the banker for all the other nations that had social programs are way out of control, like the Greeks. And they've hamstrung Germany again, trying to make sure that Europe can't really become what its real potential is. And this is one of the big problems that people don't understand, is that this is there are multiple attempts over a century to hamstring and destroy the future development of Germany and as a center of Europe. Right?
It actually still goes back before that.
I know.
Because Germany was emerging under Bismarck in the 1880s as a world power.
Right.
And Bismarck had as his goal a German-Russian alliance toward Eurasia. But there was a third party that was involved in that, which was France, and then a fourth party, which was the United States.
Right.
The British had a strategy for World War I, which was to pit Russia and France against Germany, and to take a weakened United States and have it become a physical force, but not an intellectual force, as part of the British Empire.
Right. Yeah, that's really what's going on here. Now, we have, of course, the latest thing we wanted to talk about before we started the show was Adam Schiff freaking out from the committee in Congress with Devin Nunes actually having, after the FBI freaked out that they didn't like this memo. It's basically just a summary of what came to the committee of all the materials that they've had collected about the use of the Department of Justice and the FBI basically as an internal security force, not different, dissimilar than the Russian KGB and GRU. I mean, this is something shades of a totalitarian regime. And I don't understand why the FBI, because I know there's no secrets in terms of strategy or technology or even names. I'm sure they're removed from it. But the fact is, this memo needs to come out to the public, and people like McCabe need to do a perp walk into prison, including Hillary Clinton, Podesta, and others. And even right up to Obama, they need to do the perp walk. And the problem is that geopolitically, people like Schiff, and I hear the comment that you made, too. Who was it that made the comment about Schiff? What was his name?
Roger Stone said he's full of Schiff.
Yeah, well, that's a really little, he shifted the vowels a little bit, but he is full of Schiff, you know. We'll call it horse manure. Adam Schiff has got this look on his face like a kid that got in the candy jar, in the cookie jar, and he's got crumbs all over his face and down his left arm. And he's trying to look like, hey, he's covering up his left arm and trying to rub off the crumbs. It's like, listen, guys, when this memo comes out to the public, that's why the new director of the FBI freaked out. And the day after, he pulled McCabe and said, no, you're not waiting around to March. Yeah, you're going to continue getting your salary, but you're out of here, bud. Clean out your desk today, this hour, you're gone.
Bill, the important story about the Nunes memo is that it goes to the heart of the matter, which is the Christopher Steele memo, the MI6 agent who drafted a completely fraudulent memo against Trump that was then paid for by the Clinton campaign and given to the FBI to use to go to the FISA court, the secret court, to get a warrant to surveil the Trump campaign.
Right.
That's the story. That's what's in the memo, most likely. And that's what Schiff and others are freaking out about, because it shows that the FBI was caught in the real collusion with British intelligence and the Clinton campaign to try to steal the election. And if they couldn't win the election, to use that to bring down Trump after the election, because the British had already determined that Trump was going to go against the policy of the British and the Americans, and by the Americans I mean the Bush-Obama crowd, to go for war with Russia and China and to continue the wars in the Middle East, support for terrorism, and support for endless bailouts. Trump is going against that.
Exactly. Give an example, a good concrete example of that. His own generals that he appointed wanted to put 150,000 to 250,000 troops in after he did the missile attack against Syria. And Trump actually looked at it even after his daughter, who, by the way, is not very bright. You can tell Ivanka, she has too big a mouth on her to make comments about whether or not it's the thing where Judge Roy Moore, but also the missile attack against Syria. It was the White Hats, the British agents, that actually scammed this thing to make Trump fire this missile attack. He didn't follow it up with putting a 250,000 troops in there, because this would have immediately prompted a serious conflict with Russia right away. It wouldn't have delayed it. The fact is that rather than having a deal with Russia, which now he's still trying to kind of dissemble all these, if you want to call sanctions against Russia, last week they released, I think, 241 names of senior Russian billionaires and leaders and so on, which is further harming relations rather than working out a deal, not only to deal with ISIS, but also start, you know, working on commercial deals between Europe and America and Russia, which is harming places like Germany. And what I'm amazed at is that Trump is his own man. He's got all these idiots around him, and he just listens to them and says, no, we're not doing that, which I'm pretty impressed by it. And now that Devin Nunes is going to get this letter out, I heard it could be as early as today, but it might be delayed to next week because they have to re-approve it through the committee with, you know, the guy full of Schiff, Adam Schiff. Yeah, he's full of Schiff, all right. Wow. Stone is a brilliant and funny guy, isn't he? Yeah, he's a riot.
It's a no-brainer.
Let's do that. Let's talk about that. Attention, all shoppers. And welcome back. So go right ahead. What's the next thing? What did Trump do today about the sanctions you're talking about?
Well, before I get to the sanctions, I just want to say a couple more things on the FBI, because what Schiff is reacting to is that the Democrats thought that because of the unity of the intelligence community, the Democrats, the failure for the most part of the Republicans to really support the president and the media, that Trump would have already capitulated by now. He hasn't capitulated. He's fighting. And as a result, a group of Republicans like Nunes and Getz and Jordan and some others are standing up and backing him up. And then, very importantly, Senator Grassley, Charles Grassley of Iowa, who's now moving for the arrest of Christopher Steele for fraudulent, felonious assault and slander.
Right.
So there are a number of things that have occurred that have thrown off their timetable. They didn't think Trump could make it through the first year. Now, I have to say that they have done an effective job of blunting the Trump agenda, which included going after Wall Street, going after the too-big-to-fail banks, the hedge funds, the debt problem with Glass-Steagall. He's done nothing on that. But he has maintained a good relationship with China, which is extremely important given the North Korea situation, and with Russia.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, that's why the sanction issue is so important. The Senate voted 98-2 to impose new sanctions on Russia, allegedly to punish them for interfering in the U.S. election. Now, this was without any solid evidence that the Russians interfered in the election. All that we had is the report from Brennan, Clapper, and Comey from January 7th, 2017, that affirmed, or the 6th of January, that affirmed that Russia meddled. We know it. It's true. That's case closed. But here we are more than a year later, and there's no evidence of that. In fact, there's a lot of evidence to the contrary, that it was an inside leak that delivered the Podesta and Clinton emails to WikiLeaks, and that the Russians had nothing to do with it. And secondly, they have no evidence of Trump collusion with the Russians. So now what we're seeing is a fight back, which, interestingly, is based on the perspective that LaRouche laid out right after the election. On November 12, 2016, LaRouche said, look, the British are going to go after Trump, and we've got to expose the British role in attacking him. So that's why we focused on, our organization, LaRouche PAC, focused on the Steele memo, because this was from the highest levels of British intelligence, the levels that deployed Tony Blair to start the Iraq War.
Well, Tony Blair is corrupt. I mean, look at Tony Blair. This guy is a quintessential bad British guy that's involved with globalism.
Well, look, he's responsible for giving cover to Bush for the Iraq War. But let me just finish the point. We said go after the British. Now, there are people who are saying that you have to go after Hillary Clinton on Uranium One, and it's the Russians who colluded with the Clintons. But if anything, the Russians set up Hillary Clinton. The reality of the Uranium One deal is there's a lot of bad stuff with that that has to be investigated, but that should be a separate issue than the fact that the FBI protected her on the emails and went after Trump using this British report. Now, if that comes out, and if the Republicans stick with that and don't dilute it by throwing in all sorts of other things, they'll be able to beat the Mueller investigation. Now, under those circumstances, that will then free Trump. Now, let me just add one point on the sanction question. After this attempt to basically anyone who is close to Putin politically or anyone who's a billionaire in Russia was going to be added to a sanctions list where their assets could be frozen or seized, they would not be allowed to come to the United States, and the U.S. would try and get the Europeans to not allow them to come to Europe and so on. And what Trump basically said is that when he signed the bill, he said, I don't think this is the right thing. And now when it came to enforcing it, he said, we're not going to enforce it. And this has led to an outcry from Anders Aslan, for example, from the Atlantic Council, which is one of the leading instruments of the transatlantic oligarchy, said that Trump is putting a thumb in the eye of Congress. William Kristol, the phony conservative from the Weekly Standard, said that Trump is rewarding Putin and that this is proof that Putin controls Trump. No, it just shows that Trump thinks we should be talking to Russia, not vilifying them. So I think you put these two things together, the Nunes memo by targeting the British role in Russiagate, and then secondly, looking at Trump standing up against this. And you see there's a real hope that this thing can only be overturned, but we can actually do what Trump wanted to do.
Well, in fact, people don't appreciate, and this is the Democrats especially and the Rhino Republicans, that the personality and the modus of how he interacts with people is the reason why we aren't in a trade war right now with China, and we aren't in a position of almost on the footing of a nuclear war with Russia with what's going on in Syria. We're collaborating to get rid of ISIS, which, by the way, remember John McInsane did selfies in 2009 near a town near Amman, Jordan, training ISIS with Mossad operatives as well as CIA. People need to start grasping that Trump is turning back the edge from a major nuclear war conflict and biological chemical war conflict with Russia and China. Russia and China don't want to go to war. They want to make a deal. It's like that that talk show, you know, on television, you know, let's make a deal. If he can make a deal with them to expand business in Russia, which is the most expensive place on earth to live, that's why all these Russian women are offering themselves as brides all over the world, basically video and cybernetic whores, is because the places is destitute. China, basically, although it's got this giant economy, it's completely dependent on the fact that we're their economic trade partner. If we don't have a trade arrangement, this is going to deteriorate to real vicious things that could result in a nuclear weapon landing on America's coast, because China can restrain Kim Jong-un and will, with the continued increase in sanctions against individuals, banks, and the PLA that are collaborating to allow Kim to actually create these weapons and proliferate them, because it's not just Kim that's the problem. In 2 or 5 years, it might not be Kim, it could be somebody else, like Venezuela, with nukes aimed at us, and which I've whistleblown that they actually already, things are going on. So if we don't make a deal with these guys down the war, we're going to make war, aren't we?
On the other situation, I don't know how much time we have before the break, but there's a possibility that the Ukraine situation could blow up again, which is being done by the neo-Nazis and the security forces in Ukraine, who surrounded the parliament, threatened the parliamentarians in Kiev if they didn't vote to immediately take action to move troops into eastern Ukraine. That's a red line. That's the Russians will react if you have the genocidalists in Kiev moving to eastern Ukraine.
Right. Yeah, that's the Ukrainian thing can blow up, and it's a major trade route for not only oil refineries and pipelines, but also This is the soft underbelly of the former Soviet Union. This is a dangerous place to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you happy?
Get some articles sent from your office later, but this is pretty stark. In other words, this letter with Nunez, the integration with the going after this Christopher Steele, the idea there's a deal hanging in 2018 between Russia and China and America and the West that could neutralize the idea of a future war and stop the proliferation of nuclear weapons. This is pretty critical stuff. And believe it or not, the personality and the interaction between Trump and Russia and China is probably one of the main reasons why we're not moving on a footing toward a war footing with Russia and China right now. People don't appreciate that, do they?
Let me give you a picture from someone from the German-Russian Friendship Society who spends a lot of time in Moscow, who I know here in Berlin.
Right.
What he said is that Putin and Lavrov and that crowd, the government in Russia, see the problems between Russia and the United States as essentially a product of the Obama administration and a bunch of relatively bullet-headed Republicans in the Congress.
Right.
They don't see Trump as a problem. They see Trump as trying to fight it. They're trying to figure out, will Trump survive or not? Because Russia's future depends on whether they're going to be able to establish a collaborative relationship with the United States. Now, Putin, while he is doing everything he can to foster that relationship, nevertheless has opened up a capability with the Russian Defense Forces, which has enabled them to develop new weapons that are really quite frightening. Not that we don't have them also, but that, you know, you're talking about levels of nuclear capability at hypersonic speed that would basically eliminate any time to think to cool off.
Right. Yeah, in other words, a 20-minute window we used to have for a missile response is gone. The hypersonic, cruise bombers and hypersonic missiles and new ways of evading our missile defense system, which is pretty fragile. I mean, they did another test off of Hawaii, and I have classified source of information that the situation in Hawaii, they're not being fully disclosure on, and this may shock you too, but in fact there was a missile, but it wasn't fired by North Korea. And that missile was hit about 100 miles outside of Hawaii. The fact is they did a missile test recently, just a couple days ago, and they failed. So we don't have missile defense. We did do a missile test here for some reason or other, pretended for a while that it was North Korea, but it wasn't. And the missile defense system uses fail-safe systems very similar to NORAD. I know the guys at NORAD, like Colonel Lynn Wills, and these are the guys face-to-face personally. So I know the Hawaii system wasn't one guy pressing a button, do you really want to press this button kind of BS. There really was a missile. And people need to understand this. This is, I don't know whether this is to freak people out or what the hell, but the Hawaiians are not totally incompetent idiots that decided to have somebody press the button twice so they took them out of their office and they're no longer there. There's a lot more to this. And the fact is, if we start a conflict with these countries, we don't have a time window. It's the same way as India and Pakistan have a 2-minute window. It's called launch on warning window. That window is gone now. The 20-minute window we used to have with Russia over the Cold War, that no longer exists, does it?
Well, and that's why the situation is so important, that you have two people really, or actually three people, who are really doing a lot to prevent war. One is Trump, most importantly.
Right.
Secondly, Tillerson, who's constantly in contact with his Chinese counterpart, and Wang Yi, and also with Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, and then James Mattis. Mattis has encouraged Russian generals to be in touch with U.S. generals in Syria and elsewhere. Now, right. We were talking on the break about Ukraine. If I can just take a minute to develop this point.
Right.
There are people in Ukraine who are from a group called the Pravi Sector and the Azov Brigade. These are people who march in parades in Kiev wearing swastikas.
Whoa.
They're the descendants of the Ukrainian Gestapo and Ukrainian SS, which when Hitler invaded Ukraine and drove back the Soviet army, these were Ukrainians who joined the Gestapo and were among the most brutal in killing Jews, Poles, Russians, Romanians, and others.
Yeah.
They centered around a guy named Stefan Bandera. And if listeners want to look this up, it's Bandera. He was a Ukrainian Nazi who, to this day, people who are in the new Kiev government after the 2014 coup march in parades with banners of Stefan Bandera. Now, they're the ones who are threatening to exterminate the Russian ethnic population, which is between 2/3 and 80% of the population in the Donbass.
Eastern Ukraine, the Donbass kids. Remember about 5 Christmases ago, they had little kids coming out on YouTube and so on. Please don't let them shell us. These freaking Kiev monsters are still shelling, even though it's against this treaty that was signed, the Minsk Agreement, that was signed in 2015, isn't it? They're still shelling them. They're still passing laws against the Russian population there. And Russia's trying to stay out. They haven't moved military armaments or tanks or anything there. But the Minsk Agreement gave the Eastern Ukrainians autonomy so they couldn't pass laws or continue military advancements against the population.
The Minsk Agreement didn't give them autonomy. It said that the Kiev government has to negotiate autonomy. But instead of doing that, instead of having it be a federation, they're insisting that they have to lay down their arms and submit to Kiev when the Kiev government, the Kiev security forces, are dominated by these right-wing neo-Nazis. These are the people who were brought to power by Hillary Clinton, who was part of this until she left, John Kerry, and Victoria Nuland, wife of Robert Kagan, one of the leading neocons. The National Endowment for Democracy, George Soros.
These are the Nazis
in power in Kiev. Now, they just passed a law in the Ukrainian parliament saying that they now will go in and subdue the East. This violates the Minsk Agreement. Who are the signers of the Minsk Agreement? Russia, the U.S., Germany, and France.
Well, how do they think they're going to get away with it with Donald Trump and Russia in the place? Do they think they're just going to waltz across and take over the entire population and not have a Russian response or an American response? Aren't they?
These people who are crazy, they're people who want to have a revival of the German-Ukrainian World War II axis. Their view is that if they can provoke the Russians to invade eastern Ukraine, NATO will be forced to act. And these are people who hate the Russians. They hate the Poles. They're willing to see a limited nuclear war wipe out millions of people in that area.
Okay.
Now, this is what some people like John McCain are supporting. Now,
you know how crazy that is? In Kaliningrad, which, by the way, the Russians are trying, Putin's trying to restrain this because his military have developed now some of the most deadly weapons in history. Their latest is this new Sarmat super weapon. This hypersonic 10 plus, Mach 10 plus weapon. We don't have a kind of a launch on warning against this weapon that can completely evade our space weapon systems and our ground-based naval systems, et cetera, against a nuclear attack. So these missiles are already based and set up even in intermediate range in Kaliningrad to strike every square inch of Europe and America, and we got no defense. And these idiots basically are trying to force us to rush toward World War III, aren't they?
And that's why Trump's decision not to proceed with the new sanctions. By the way, the Russians were funny. Peskov, the Putin spokesman, was asked about them. And he said, I saw the list. It looks like the list of people who are going to be sanctioned. It looks like the Moscow phone directory. So, the Russians The Russians are trying to take this with a certain sense of humor, but they're very appreciative that Trump didn't go ahead with this because they would have had to go with new sanctions against the United States, which they don't want to do.
Right, and by the way, you have to understand that these people that are advising Trump 38 of them at least have the Pope on speed dial, and believe it or not, the Pope and these globalists, they don't want peace with Russia. They want conflict, don't they?
Well, I don't know about the Pope, but I know certainly about some of those advisors to Trump.
Yeah, the advisors on the speed dial, believe me, the globalists want to have this dialectic of chaos. That's why things are not settling down. LaRouchePAC.com, what you guys do is you not only frame the problem not only in the now but in the near future, but also you talk about solutions like Glass-Steagall, making arrangements to start trade, not war, collaborating. For example, if people knew the reality, and I know about some things that are very classified, very scary stuff. One of them is in 12 years, this fall, 12 years from now, actually less now, a little less than 12 years, in 11 years and about 10 months, we have Apophis coming, which is the ancient name of the destroyer asteroid coming toward Earth. It has a 1% chance of it or its debris field, which covers millions of square miles, striking the Earth. Now, Apophis is three times the size of the asteroid that wiped out the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. Now, even if it's some of its debris field and cometary debris strikes the Earth, it's going to cause a major catastrophe. If we were collaborating in space, we would get out there and move the objects and its debris field so it wouldn't strike the Earth or cause a meteor strike that could cause major tsunamis and other destruction, like the one that hit Chelyabinsk in southern Russia near the T-80 tank manufacturing facility was about 10 years ago. People need to start understanding that climate change, which is a modern ice age we're in now, we're in the middle of a 5 million, what's called ice epoch. We talked about this with Lowell Ponte. I'm an environmentalist, one of the Turner members, founding members of Greenpeace over 45 years ago. And I'm scared to death by what's happening. We need to collaborate as nations to survive as a people on Earth. And we're not even ready for anything like a coronal mass ejection, let alone a cyber attack on our power grid or an EMP attack. But there's things in the galaxy that are a hell of a lot more dangerous than what humans can do to each other. And we're not prepared for it, are we?
Well, Bill, let me give you and your listeners a sense of what we are doing toward putting forward solutions. First, on Russiagate, people can go to LaRouchePAC.com and download the dossier on Robert Mueller. It's called Robert Mueller is an Amoral Legal Assassin.
Right.
And this is the blueprint that's being used by people in the Congress going after Mueller and the FBI. So people can go to our site. We put it out first and identified this guy as a criminal operating for British and U.S. deep state going back to the early 80s. Now, the second thing is we've just produced what we call the LaRouche PAC 2018 election campaign program. And it goes through LaRouche's four laws, the Glass-Steagall to stop the speculative swindles and the protection of the out-of-control banks, the new credit system, a Hamiltonian credit system to channel funds into real production, the emphasis on infrastructure at the high end of technology, and then point four is a science driver program that moves the whole thing. So that's available also for people. The second part of it is it goes through what the potential would be were the United States to join with China on the new Silk Road policy. This is something Trump has discussed with Xi Jinping. The Chinese vice premier was in Washington about 3 months ago and did a whole series of meetings, including with Chamber of Commerce, Business Associations, National Association of Manufacturers, and there are a lot of projects already underway. There are several states like Alaska and West Virginia that already are receiving funds and investments from China in building up modern plants. In West Virginia, it's an $80 billion 10-year program, $80 billion over 10 years for West Virginia is huge.
Now, is the infrastructure going to be mainly rail infrastructure for coal extraction, or is it going to be what is the industry?
Some of it is plastics, chemical, various uses for coal. Some of it is fertilizer development. And some of it's not even specified yet. They're just companies that are being told that if they go into West Virginia and upgrade manufacturing there, they'll get credit from the Chinese.
Who are the responsible politicians that obviously have the foresight to realize we need to collaborate on a world stage, and we need to also start bringing in, for example, even on a not necessarily citizenship, but a working pass so we can bring in, say, thousands of Chinese engineers to make Donald Trump the first high-speed rail president. Well, maybe we need also what's called zero recycle. In other words, instead of an island of trash three times the size of Texas out in the North Pacific Ocean, why don't we recycle everything so there's now, in the future, more fish in the oceans than plastic? How about that?
Well, in terms of West Virginia, President Trump and Xi Jinping were the ones who set things in motion. The
right.
governor of West Virginia was involved. I think some of the coal industry was involved. The mayor of Houston, Texas, Sylvester Turner, took a team to China. And they came back with another round of agreements, including Chinese investment in upgrading the port facility in Houston and also the petrochemical industry. So there are any number of potential capabilities that are possible. Now, other people looking into this, Macron from France just came back from China, very moved by the situation there. He said, look, the Chinese have lifted 700 million people out of poverty. There are fewer Chinese living under poverty conditions today than there are in Europe. 30 million left in China under poverty level, 95 million in Europe. Living below poverty.
Wow. And, of course, so, the population of Europe is one-third the size of China.
That's right. Well, and look at the United States. We have almost 50 million people who need food stamps to be able to eat. So,
that's obscene. I mean, we have a space program. We have the giant military that spends more than all the countries in the world put together. Yet we have people that are on food stamps, and we don't have an adequate healthcare system. It's disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then Gentiloni from Italy was in China. Now, Theresa May went to China, but she came back with no deals because the British are insisting that British banking methods be accepted in China. And this is one of the things that caused the initial opposition.
What are the principles, two or three principles you can just go hammer, what are they? Because obviously the British want totalitarian control of financing or whatever. Crypto is the big we call the first black swan in 2018. And crypto combined with something like gold or oil, for example, we have the petro yuan in China. If the petro yuan goes crypto, the Chinese will eventually, I can see Trump and China combining their currencies so we have a world currency system that actually is based on a commodity, not just on a blockchain or some other technology that has crypto.
There may be something in the works for a restoring a fixed exchange rate. But what British banking basically says, you have to have openness, which means that no protection of depositors' funds, no protection of...
Oh, you mean like Glass-Steagall? You mean like Glass-Steagall, where the banks can use depositors' funds and speculate, right?
Chinese have a Glass-Steagall system. The British are saying that's unfair.
You've got to be kidding.
The ability of speculators to come in and determine who gets investment credits in China.
By the way, one of the things that Trump wants to do, but he hasn't done in the first year of his presidency. But I guarantee this year, there's a good chance he may start putting the speculatory things like Glass-Steagall in and get rid of the speculators that are controlling Wall Street and the world, because the bond market and the commercial real estate market are ready to pop. I mean, former Fed chairman, what's his name, Greenspan, he's saying bubbles. I mean, if you listen to all the things he's saying.
When he was Fed chair, he never met a bubble he didn't love. Now he's saying bubbles are the problem. You know,
is having a kind of a seizure of honesty, maybe because he's near his deathbed, but he's telling you the truth.
I don't think it's honesty. I think he's lost all credibility because of his comments about it's not irrational exuberance when these were bubbles when he was Fed chair. So his only way of redeeming himself is to acknowledge that he was a complete idiot when he was Fed chair.
Exactly, but right now he's at, that's the article. It's actually bubbles. This year, if Trump doesn't handle this, we're going to have the economy go from a great blowing economy after the tax relief to popping. It's going to pop this year if Trump and the Chinese and Russians and the Europeans don't get together and work out something like almost like a post-Second World War kind of an international exchange system that has some stability to it. Because
like the Bretton Woods system.
Yeah, the Bretton Woods, because the velocity of credit is dropping. And here's what, let me finish this comment. The velocity of credit is dropping to the point where farmers are not planting crops and they're killing their livestock. And the amount of food in the world is caused by the banking mess that we have, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they better listen to LaRouche Foundation. Again, LaRouchePAC.com, EIR Executive Intelligence Review, LaRouchePUB.com. Closing comment, Harley.
Just get our platform for 2018 and fight for it. It's available on LaRouchePAC.com.
Thank you, Harley. I hope you get over your scratchy throat if you need anything to keep the flu at bay so you don't get sick with it. Remember, we'll be back in a moment with Vince Finelli and USA Prepares. Tomorrow, the firing line, first hour. Gary Richard Arnold will be here, and we have a special guest in hour two. It's a surprise. Tomorrow, Harley will be back next week in hour two. Take care and do get all your supplement needs and your technology needs at NutraMedical. It supports us, what we're doing, amazing things to help people like Harley and LaRouche get the word out.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.